Welcome to Headlines. This is David Lichtenstein. This week, we're going to have a very special, we're going to replay portions of a number of interviews that we've had with the Pesach of America, Reb David Cohn, fascinating contemporary Shilas. And to me, Reb David is a gift to the Yidden of America because he really lives here with us. You know, these weeks, we're just finishing four or five parshas about the Mishkan. We had the Beis HaMikdash, which was in Eretz Yisrael. It was a solid two great edifices that sadly we have no longer. And then we have the Mishkan. And Chazal say the Mishkan was Nignas. It was hidden. We don't know where. You know, the Zohar says it was hidden someplace in the hearts of Klal Yisrael. Now, there's a Gemara in Yuman, the Fayin Beis. The Gemara says like this. It says, Atzei Shitim Oimdim. So the Gemara says, Shema Toimar Ovad Sivram Batal Sikuyam. Maybe the Mishkan, which is gone, it's lost forever. So it says, no. Oimdim Lo'ad Ula Omei Elamim. The Mishkan is here forever. And let me tell you a possible thought. A building that's gone, it's far away. When it's gone, maybe it's gone. Something that's portable, you can always take it with you. It says, when Klal Yisrael was Golsul Abavel, Shechina Gala Imoyim, there's a chelik of the Torah that's immutable, it never changes, and there's the part that wherever Klal Yisrael goes, it goes along with them, and it somehow, it adapts to them. The Torah of Bavel was different than the Torah of Poland. The Torah of Yerushalayim was different than the Torah that we had in Spain. The Torah of Lita was different than the Torah of Hungary. The Torah of America is a different Torah too. There's a gift. There's a Talmud Chacham from America faces the challenges that we have here in America. And you know, the challenges that we have in America are very different. Just imagine your American Balabas today. He knows that he has to study Torah, and he knows that it's central to his life and to his spiritual growth. He knows that he's supposed to study for hours. He's supposed to do intense learning daily. He also knows that he has a home and a family. He knows his marriage is very important, and it requires an investment in time. He knows raising children who are B'nai Torah is more difficult and more important than ever. He knows the dangers of technology. He knows the importance of davening. He knows the importance of learning with children. And he knows important work, how expensive it is to have an observant household. He knows the costs of food, clothing, housing are all higher than it's ever been and much higher than it is for secular families because of the costs of kashrus. He knows about the cost of private tuition. He knows the costs of wedding. And he knows the cost of post-marriage children support. He knows community, tzibur. He knows all the bar mitzvahs, varts, l'chaims, wedding, fundraising dinners, breakfasts, parlor meetings. He knows that if he skips simchas, he knows local chesed programs, children's schools. And he knows there's only 35 hours in a day. So we have unique challenges here that generations ago, they never had these challenges. He knows going in a street today is the most dangerous thing a person can do. He knows we have to do all of the above, and yet we walk out in the street, it's walking into a nuclear minefield. Could a Rav of 1,000 years ago done any of the above? And that's why we need Rabbanim, the Mishkan. Midika Savar Avad Sivram Batal Sikuyam, Hador Diksiv Atzei Shitim Oimdim La'ad Ole'omi Olamim. There's the Torah that came along with us to Galus. That is Reb David Cohn, the Pesach of America. He knows how to, the Torah is livable today in the 35-hour day that an American Balabas has, which is why he's my personal. When I have a shayla, I go to him.
We have the honor of having with us Mereinu Hagoyin Harav Reb David Cohn, the Mechaber of 25 or 30 Sfarim, the Rav of Gvul Yavitz, and in my eyes, the Pesach of America on the phone. Shalom Aleichem, Reb David.
Aleichem Shalom.
We've spoken the first time we had the Rav, he spoke about Agunis. There's, in general, a frustration by many people you speak to about going to Bezdin. That there is there are all kinds of illegitimate batei dinim. There's biased batei dinim. Give us a little bit of a sort of from some, besides the halachic point of view, but from a practical point of view, what does somebody do? Like you have an isha, she's called to a bezdin that is, let's say, from a particularly biased against nashim, or a person is called to a bezdin that. There's so many kangaroo, but it doesn't. There's no license required to open a bezdin, and because of this, people get very frustrated. There are, you know, give us a little bit of a handbook. What is either a business person or a woman who's going through? What is when do you have to go to bezdin? When can you say I don't find that bezdin legitimate, etc.?
I'm aware of the problem very much so. I must say, I have to agree that there are batei dinim that are biased. Unfortunately, I don't even want to give them a label as batei din, but unfortunately, there are what we would call batei din that are mekablei shochad. I know some of them. And certainly in the past, there have been people that were notoriously so. Everyone knew that they were equal opportunity batei din. For money, they would either give a het to Meir Rabbanim and hide the get from a woman, which was something which is one of the greatest rishis in the world. And these equal opportunity, but they did, would also be kaifah shalai kedin. And where al pidin, it's really a get mu'usa and take money from a woman and do this shalai kedin. And get a get for this woman, which Alpidin is not a get, thereby being matar an Ashes Ish, who would marry someone and she's really an Ashes Ish. So there were these equal opportunity batei din that did anything you would ask them to do for money, unfortunately. So what a person who's Yirei Shemayim has to do is to avoid these batei din. Don't forget, if you get a hasmana from a bezdin, you have the right of choice to say that you want to go to another bezdin, a so-called honest bezdin. So you're not really compelled. You're compelled al pi halacha to go to bezdin, but you're not compelled to go to the specific one that your antagonist sent you a hasmana from. You have that choice. So, of course, someone who gets hazmana should really inquire of rabbanim that he maintains, our honest rabbanim, where they should go, what their response should be. There, of course, are halachas where a person does not have to respond to hazmana from such a bezdin, risking a seruf from such a bezdin, but... If it's known that these batei din are really not, let's call them reasonable or honest batei din, so their siruvim don't really mean much in the world of public opinion. So it's important for a person to ask of people that he trusts how to respond. There are certain situations, and I know Rav Moshe Zatzal and many other Gedolei Yisrael would permit a woman who was being kept as an aguna, and most of the time these women aren't given money for mezainis, and they were told you can go to court because of the husband's attitude, and you don't have to go to a bezdin. Again, I know of horror cases where women who didn't get a hero of, but they didn't to do that, or even if they got the hirah from Gedolei Yisrael, when the Gedolei Yisrael maintained that you don't need a heta bezin, and that's why they gave the heta. So there were, but they didn't, nefarious, but they didn't, that gave a serif to the women and gave a heta meir abanim, as described above, which was shaloka din. Because if they're giving a get to Meir Rabbanim to the husband, they must give a get to the woman. But again, there are people, there is evil in this world. We do whatever we can And we do it to help the Nirduf who is doing Kedin. That's the best we can do.
So what happens when somebody wants to be Teveya somebody to a Din Torah, mm-hmm. and the other party will only go to a Bezdin, which is one of these, what you would say, nefarious Batei Dinim? What is that person to do?
Well, Al Pi Halacha, if that person says, I want to go to what we would say in Yiddish, an Erlich Bezdin, the other Batei Dinim have no right whatsoever to give out a Sirv. And they are considered Rishayim if they give out a Sirv.
No, but I'm asking the other way. If a Taiveya wants to take somebody to an Erlich Bezdin,
yes,
and the Nitva only wants to go to one of these very nefarious Batei Din.
Unfortunately, there is evil in this world. So the Erlich Bezdin, the other person, can get away with it by going to an evil Bezdin. It's like a person who has the money and knows the Bezdin that will take money, we will call it Shaykhad, and rule his way, or generally they're bored off. So there's evil in this world. I don't have an answer to many of the evils which are perpetrated. I would try my utmost to help the person who's doing Kedin.
Well, would that person then be able?
I don't have an answer.
Would that person be able?
To... evil.
Would that person be able to go to Arkoyas if the only Bezdin that the other person would agree to go to is one of the quote-unquote nefarious Bezdin?
If that person would go, I would advise this person to go to a Bezdin. Usually, but they didn't know about other but they didn't. So if the Erlich Bezdin would hear about these but they didn't that are evil, I can't imagine that they would refuse to give a heter or curse to this person. Sometimes religious politics keeps them from doing it. But we have to try to help all these people who are nerdafim, shalokadim. That's about the only thing I could say. What would you say about a person that someone, he doesn't know who, stole a lot of money from him? You say, look, it's Hashgacha. I can't help you. I don't know what to do for you. Someone stole money, and you were mafsid money, but I don't have advice for you. So it's unfortunate that there is evil being perpetrated in this world.
So let me ask a more social question. So you have people ask this all the time. We get these emails. You have a fryer person. You're trying to be makar of him. One of the most beautiful ways to be makar of a person is inviting them to a Shabbos meal. Well, you live in Muncie or in Borough Park or in Flatbush. They live in Manhattan. And you know if you invite them, they're coming Friday night, 100% sure. They're going back Friday night, and they're going to drive. On the other hand, it's their only chance to ever see, you know, they will all be gone in another generation. These people still remember a Yiddish Baba. Do you invite them to drive, or do you say, I'm sorry, it's Lifnei Iver, and you don't do it?
I'll tell you, this is a very, as we would say, an old question. The Tshuva movement, I would say, is about 30 years or so, 30 or 40 years, and it's really a movement, and it's one of the most successful movements in recent Jewish history. And this is a very old Shaila, and I'll tell you my handle on this. I believe that a person, for the sake of Kirov, should not invite someone that they want to be Makarov by saying, why don't you come to me for a Suda, knowing that these people, even if they live a mile away, you know they're going to drive. I believe that that should not be the way to invite them. The way to invite them is if you do have room to put them up for Shabbos, or if you don't have room, what your friend does, and you can have them for the whole Shabbos. The invitation should be, you know, I would love you come to me for a Shabbos. I'll put you up. I can put you up for Shabbos. If the response is not, it's hard for me, I'll come for a meal. The response, your response should be, lovely, the door is always open for you. When would you like to come? Why do I maintain that that should be the way of inviting them? Because it seems to me that it's a chil Hashem to tell someone, and that's the way, if you're not saying, I'll put you up, in effect, you're saying, why don't you go drive the Mechal Shabbos because I want to be mashbi on you, and I want you to be Tayyim Shabbos. That's chil Hashem. But if you're saying I can put you up, then that statement is not a chil Hashem. If they respond, I'm going to drive. So we have a lot to fall back on. The Shach, I think it's in Siman Kuf Nun Aleph, says there are certainly lifnei iver for even for a non-Jew. That's the Gemara Pesachim Chav Beizim and Beiz. To give a goy eva menachai is a real daraisa lifnei iver. However, even though there's lifnei iver, but Messiahly de Iver Aveira is not also when the person is anyway a Machal Shabbos. There's a Dugum of Ava there, there's a lot to be mafalto about. But Lalacha Lamaisa, one certainly can rely on this Shach. So when I know a person is driving anyway, for all I know, this person is going to do many more Averis on Shabbos, that if he weren't in my home, that there would be much more than he would do in my home. But that's not the rationale. There's no Messiah de Avera. So this person, at worst, by my saying, you can be in my house and have a Suda, is not, firstly, one can argue it's not Messiah de Avera. It's up to you. By inviting you, I'm not saying in any way that you have to drive. So why am I called a Messiah? I'm just telling you, my door is open for you. There'll be food for you for Shabbos. But even if it is Messiah Eli Dei Avera, it's mutter according to the Shach. Therefore, that would be the way to invite someone for Shabbos. And that's the way I've been paskening for many years.
So, if you know for sure that they wouldn't, it wouldn't be mutter then to invite them. Where in another way, and are you saying this way it's mutter, the other way it wouldn't be mutter?
Yes, and I'm saying it doesn't matter that I know that this Shabbos they're not planning to drive. That's irrelevant. They're mechalale Shabbos. There's no Messiah there.
What would you say, Reb David, to the argument that they wouldn't be a lifna iver the other way because they're going to be, if you don't invite them Friday night, they're going to sit and they're going to go to the movies. They're going to go by train someplace else or car. They'll be Eichel Nevelis or Treyfish, Gatsum or Amasim. So whatever you're doing, you're being Goyrim less Isurim than more Isurim.
It's a good rationale, but you really don't know that. If not for the Shach, that there's no Messiah, it's a valid argument. I'm just claiming this is the best way. I'll tell you another valid argument that we have a klal besides pikuach nefesh deicha on Shabbos. Besides that halacha, there's a halacha, and we pass in this halacha. According to some rishonim, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos where it's not chil Shabbos for the mother. It is not chil Shabbos for the mother. It's a case where the mother would survive anyway, according to medicine. But it's the only way we would be able to save the baby is through Chil Shabbos. And there are Shainim that, oh, the baby is not a nefesh, so we can't have a heter. Since a baby is not a nefesh, it's not pikuach nefesh. But there's the rationale, Yechal Shabbos Achas for the baby, because the baby will be born. The baby will be a Shema Shabbos. And this is the sheet that the Ran brings his sheet in Yuma, and we Pascha like this. So this rationale can be applied to anyone that we want to be Makarov, because we don't know. We do know there are many success stories where they become Bali Tshuva. Yechal Shabbos Achas. And let them be Mechal, literally, even if it would be a deraisa of Chilul Shabbos, more chomer than Lifnei Iver, we would have a valid rationale. Do it. Kedei Sheyish Meshabbos is Harbe. So there are many reasons how we can be Matarit, but always choose the lesser evil. So I feel that my way of handling it is the most Kal way of Hakal, Hakal Trila. If you have to do an Aveira, even if it's an Aveira, Hakal, Hakal is this way. And I maintain it's not an Aveira altogether.
Uh-huh. Can we have one more, Shaila?
Go ahead.
We get these Shailas a lot. For pets in Halacha. People ask us, they have dogs, cats, etc. What do they do on Shabbos? Do they have a din of mukta? It's not widely discussed in the Shulchan Aruch because people didn't, they could barely afford to eat at those times. The concept of pets was clearly, is an American issue where people will spend, you know, hundreds of dollars to feed their pet during the year. What's the Rav's opinion on pets on Shabbos?
I don't see any difficulty. Yes, pets, they're a machleksin. Because we know that Balei Chayim Amukta, I believe that there are days that a pet is different. It's like it's like a rock. If you make an a rock is Mukta. But if you make certain achanas, machlekes in the Gemara, do you have to do a pu'ula, or is machshava enough? But there is such a thing, and it becomes machan. There are those who want to say that a pet is not necessarily mukta. It's not just a balchai, it's a pet. But let's go to pets are mukta. We paskin that only tilkel mukta is asa, not negias mukta. And Shulchan Aruch, they give me a whole way how you can walk a dog on Shabbos. The way a leash has to be sticking out a tefech from the other side, and how the leash has to be tight. So there are halakas that there's a way to walk a dog on Shabbos. You're allowed to pet an animal on Shabbos, even if it's muktza, and you can't move the dog. So there are ways how to cope and how to feed and how to take care of a bal chai on Shabbos.
Let me ask you a question that we really get a lot of this question in various forms by email. On a different topic, 100 Rabbanim, starting in Chicago, was under Rabbi First, came out with a psak that's saying that if somebody accuses somebody of molestation, a child accuses an adult of molestation, they should go to the police. There have been murmurs disagreeing, saying, no, you go to a Rav. Tell us, what is halacha psuka in your opinion?
You leave out the word psuka. In my humble opinion, this manifesto is nothing new, because I've been paskening this for the last 20 years, let us say, as Rav Avogel, because a tremendous amount of shilas would come my way. I know many rabbanim who just send it my way, and I pasken one should go to the authorities directly. There were one or two cases where people were over-exaggerating about the molestation of a parent to a child, and I told them, don't report this. But in every other case, to my recollection, I said, go to the authorities. You don't have to ask a shaila. Again, here we have, again, a state law that says that the person who is a mandated reporter can't ask a clergyman. This is, again, against the Constitution. There's no one out to fight it. But there's no doubt in my mind it's against the Constitution. They can't make such a law that if my religious training says I have to ask a Rav whether I can report it, they can't make such a law. They're just doing it because they're reacting. They used to be a person who was a mandated reporter who didn't do it, didn't even get a slap on the wrist. And then when they saw what molestation can do, they went the other way. This other way is unconstitutional. We just need see people to fight it. I am very tolerant of people who will ask Rabbanim. I am not tolerant of Rabbanim who don't know how to eat this thing. You'll pardon put it in quotes. They don't know what molestation is all about, and that's why perhaps they feel that it's nothing. So it's being slowly turned around. But to me, this Heta Meir Rabbanim is nothing new whatsoever.
And
I don't
why
know
isn't it a Shiloh of Mas- it. Why isn't it a Shiloh of Masira?
For many, many reasons. Start with A. We are not allowed, let's forget a moment about being Moisa someone, La'ariga. It's a beferish adina shulchan aruch, black and white, that a mitzah has hatzibul.
Shin peches, right?
Yeah, shin peches and machayshim mishpat. I think it may be siftes, but it's beferish. Mitzah hatzibul, you give him over to the authorities not to kill him. Laniyastati, we have no right bismanazeh to be ma'anish someone. My opinion is that anyone who's guilty of molestation, that's guilty by umdana, and incidentally there's a ramah that ketanim takanas hagayim that ketanim anemon.
As on nashim, the ramah nashim where there's no anashim nimtza.
Right,
you have the true of the Shailu Meshiv on it. Yeah.
But it's Ramah. So right. I'm not saying, the Ramah goes for Gavi Hilchus Seidus. By us, Umdana is enough. If the Umdana is that what these children are saying is true, according to the Umdana, we have to not punish. We're not allowed to punish. But we have to be Matzil Hatzibur. So I believe that every molester should be given a life sentence, unless we know from evidence that the person changed before we sat on the trial, before we made this judgment. Because to protect the tzibur, he'll be out in a year, 2 years, 3 years. Why? How are we protecting the tzibur in 3 years? The goyim look at this as a punishment. We're not punishing. We have to protect our children. And because of this, I feel life sentences should be given for molestation, except if everyone will testify that they see a tremendous change, then under certain circumstances, they should let the person out of prison. So that's ABC, that Mitzar HaTzibur these people are. I believe that those Rabbonim that were always very lax and we're against paskening, that a mitzar HaTzibur should be given over to the authorities, it's simply because they didn't know what molestation meant. 40 years ago, top psychologists didn't begin to know what molestation did because there was no feedback from those who were molested. But as the evidence became more and more that there are so many people who are suffering, and some of them for life, that their joie de vivre was taken out of them. People have no more simchas achayim, and many of them for life. When it became more and more realized that this is happening, so then we understood, hey, there's such a big molestation. But these rabbanim don't know the effects of molestation. That's the only way, I don't want to use the word justify, but that I can understand how they could say, forget about it, it's nothing. I can't justify what they did in any way if they would really know what a molestation does. So this whole manifesto of 100 rabbanim, I don't know who's sponsoring it. I have my chashashos v'day l'maven, what this is all about and how it all came about. But it's, to me, as we say in the Gemara, poshut kebeis b'kutcha, just like you're allowed to eat an egg that's finished in a milchik dip, albeit it comes from a chicken. We all know that's mutter. The Gemara wants to say that maybe it's not even called a hirah because it's so poshut. So the Gemara gives this as an example. This is poshut to me, that knowing what we know today, it's poshut that you go to the authorities. Rabbonim are not trained like psychologists. Even among psychologists, one needs special training in this area called molestation. So they, before, when they have a case against the person, there is consultation. The person is giving a fair chance to defend himself. But certainly, certainly, we have to give these a mitzari at Seber. This is the way we have to react. This is step one in why we are obligated to do so. And a person who doesn't do so is over an aveira called leisamer al dam reyecha. There's no doubt in my mind. There is
there is a heter, let us say, that if a person who would be the reporter feels that they would have personal damage if they would report it, there is a heter, because there are many achronim, gedoli achronim, that say that the halacha that I'm mechuyev to do a mitzvah saseh up to a fifth, which is the basis of a heter, that if someone is a chayla shein by sakana, he's potter from mitzvahs. And the halacha that you have to give all of your money not to be over a log saseh.
It's only by kum vaseh.
That's a criterion. Yeah. Hello? That's Ramah and Tafresh Nemvav and Eirechai.
Yeah, but it's only by kum vaseh, a lot of Paiskim say.
That's exactly what
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
So many Paiskim say that
if
Tafkamin is kum vaseh and Shevial Tasa.
Right.
And I have a letter from, I think it's your great uncle, the Tzitzeliezer, who Paskin like that, who sent me a tshuva to that effect, where it was a question of someone losing his job and parnasa, and it was a question of him reporting it, and there it was really dinei nefashis, mind you. It was a case of someone who used to shoot heroin, where the statistic was that it's 85% that the person has an illness, and this person would be giving over the illness to his kala that he was going to marry in a few weeks, and the person called me about notifying, and he said that there would be terrible consequences, and I said, please, it's pikuach nefesh. And I gave him various advice how to handle it. But then I wrote a letter to the Tzitzeliezer Zatzal, and he came out with this, what you just said, that Shevi Altasi is not mechuyev to lose his job for Shevi Altasi, and it was literally dinei nefashis then. So there is a heter. There are people whose children are in shidduchim. They're afraid of the notoriety. So I tell them, it's like samad, but if you feel that you may have such a great loss, you have a heter. But otherwise, a person is mechuyev to notify the authorities. I must tell you, there are many, many more reasons. I don't know if you want me to go into a halachic discussion. But even in, it's in Hilchus Rodeif, it's Halach of Rodeif. If someone is Rodeif and you can save the Nirdav by killing the Rodeif, that's what the Torah says you do it.
Yeah, but covered the Rav, that
yes.
It has to be a Nara Psula, a Nara Hamureses, but without Nara Hamureses, if it's Oinus alone, it doesn't have a din of a right of the Mishnah in Sanhedrin.
We're talking in the Mishnah when it's Negeya to Hariga.
Well, no, but Lagabe right if to kill the near to kill the
yes,
to kill
you're
the
right
if yet has to
but
be
the Torah
has
told
to be
us that someone who's right if to do certain things, you can kill him under certain circumstances.
Yeah, but that's because
a molester, and then there's the din of Moser. A Moser is also a Rodef, but only if he was Moser Gimel Palmim. So over here, first of all, I must tell you, there was in history, we don't know a case of a molester only one time. So someone who is a molester is a Rodef. Now, I didn't say you could kill him, but if someone is Rodef to maim someone, the halacha is just as if he's out to kill a person, you could kill him. If he's out to maim someone, you could maim him. You can't kill him, but you can maim him. Someone who's out to molest someone, you can do to the Rodef whatever is equal to the what could happen to the Nerduf. So I believe that a jail term is no less than the suffering of a Nerduf. So the principle of Rodef is here. I have many other reasons. Another reason is because although there are shittas that hold that by Dina de Malchus Adina, that in all these halachas, you don't follow Dina de Malchus Adina, it's only a din in Dina Mominus. But there are many who paskin in the Meisim Bav Metzia Pei Gimel with Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yeshua Ben Kolcha. Rabbi Yishmael was a DA of sorts.
Kofiud Gimel, Ahmed Beis, yeah.
I'm sorry?
Kofiud Gimel and Bav Metzia, right?
No, it's Pei Gimel and Beis, but we'll have time to check that out later. If I'm wrong, erase it. I believe it's Pei Gimel, Ahmed Beis, and Bav Metzia, and Rabbi Yishmael Ben Kolcha. told him that what are you doing to Am Yisrael? Yeah. And he answered him. So there's really a machlokes.
And the Beisheisa brings it la'alacha.
Yes, yes. Beisheisa in the beginning brings it la'alacha, but there's a machlokes who you paskin like. So there are many who paskin that not like Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, like Rabbi Yishmael. So there are really many reasons la'alacha why it's not only mutter, it's a mitzvah.
Can I add one more?
If it ends at 3, because I must take calls then.
Okay. So the Shach brings Marimi Riesenberg. He says,
it's mud right. He can protect himself.
Yeah. If somebody's running after somebody with a club, you don't call a Rav, you call the police. That's what the Shach paskins.
Yes, and Rav Big Satzal from Borough Park, Seichet Sadek Lavracha, used to give the marshal that if the 3 a.m., someone's coming into your house, you don't call the Rav, can I call the cops? That was his marshal.
What is the Rav's opinion? Are smokers a pasul edus, or what about other addictions? Are they pasul edus because they would have a din of a mumer ledavar echad?
Given the fact that it's been probably 50 years since Rav Moshe wrote his tshuva about smoking, and it's reduced itself considerably, Baruch Hashem, in our community. But there are still many, especially younger, who do smoke, many younger Bachrim. Would you say, given what we know about today, the dangers of smoking, that somebody who insists on smoking is in effect, Oiva Nushmartim Snafshesechem, is to a limited level, I guess, eventually, there's a scientific study by Reed that says every cigarette reduces lifespan by 5 minutes.
I read 4 minutes, that every cigarette reduces one's lifespan by 4 minutes. I'm under the impression that that is scientifically true.
So would a person like this have a din of a ma'abed atzmi ladas, and therefore be what's a pasul la'edus by a chasana?
No, I don't think the person would be pasul la'edus, because there's a gemara in Sanhedrin that those who were mekaver Yisraelim ha-mekaverim, on Yom Tov Rishon, where the halach is Yisasku by Amimim and not Yisraelim. Nevertheless, they're not Pasul Eidus, albeit we put them in Chayrim, because they are rationalizing away that they're being put in Chayrim as some sort of a kapara for what they have to do according to halach, like a person who has a bad dream on Friday night. He fasts on Shabbos, and then he has to fast the Tainis, according to Rashi, on Sunday to make up for having fasted Shabbos, although he's fasting on Shabbos Kedin. But so people have that rationalization, and a person who rationalizes cannot be pusillatus because he thinks he's doing the right thing. So there's no doubt that most frumma smokers, whether they know of Rav Moshe's tshuva or not, they're still rationalizing away that they're not doing anything wrong. Even the person who has no such rationalization feels that I'm like an onus because, and that may be true incidentally, that the person may be considered an onus because the person is truly addicted. So no one, or almost no one, is doing it bemazed. The person says, I know, I just can't stop. Or, I'll be alocha, Rav Moshe wrote a tshuva, it's mutter. And it's because of that they are not pasulaidus.
So you say that the fact that they consider themselves itself make them not pasulaidus?
That's correct, because rationalization. That's the Gemara. That's what the Gemara says. So, that these makavrim, even though we put them in chayrim, they rationalize away. It's like Misana Tainis Latanise, but they're doing the right thing. And they even feel they're doing a mitzvah.
So would you say the same thing about people who, let's say, overeat to the point where it really it limits their life cycle, etc.? You would say it's the same halacha?
Yes, it's either an addiction where the person says, I just can't stop. Whatever it is, it's a rationalization which takes them out of the realm of being mezidim.
So can I go to a more sensitive topic? And clearly,
before you go on, permit me to say, I Rabaren Soloveitchik Zatzal, I was told when he was in Chicago, parceled people who ate what's chadash. I won't go into the lumdes of whether chadash is or is not mutter bismanazeh. There was a psak for many hundreds of years in that people in Europe relied on the psak of the Bach.
Yeah.
Chodesh bezmanazeh is mutter. And Rabban Soloveitchik Zatzal felt it's osur. He felt that bezmanazeh, we don't have the same rationale for whatever reason. And he possibly Eidus people who are mechubed with Eidus by a wedding, because he felt that they're pusilatus. Lani Azdati, they weren't pusilatus because they certainly had a rationale. Even Imtim Saloima, that Lahalacha Rabaren Zatzal was right, but it's not it was right, Lugabi Lahalacha of Chadosh. Nevertheless, you can't pusilatus when people have what they believe is a heta.
Are people with alternative lifestyles in the Frum community, what should the Hagdara, how should a Ben Torah look at these individuals?
We've gotten many emails over this. Nebuch from parents who are Bitzar Gadol. And it's talking about children who have alternate lifestyles, and the parents feel that it's genetic and it's not by choice. And the question would be, would a person like this be able to get an aliyah? Would they have a din of apostle Aedis, or would you consider them Ein Sim too?
I believe there has been, and there still is, a great deal of misinformation about people who have a tava for scharim. The tava for scharim may be listed as Einus. Nobody is asked to be born with the tava. Nevertheless, in most cases, I would say more than 99% of the cases, a person who has a taiva but is not compelled to do the act does not have a din of einus. These people, as you call it, who are born with a taiva for an alternative lifestyle, they have bechira to control their action no less than anyone who has what we would call a normal libido to the opposite sex. There is no einus to do an act. The einus is the taiva. Well, that's the einus that all of mankind has. Gezel v'arayis nafshe shalodim chaimdosan. That everyone is under that rubric of that maima chazal, that is the taiva. And nobody asks for the taiva. But a person has bechira as far as the act is concerned. And those with an alternative lifestyle taiva, they have the same koyach bechira not to be ayvet mitzvah satayra. Of course, they're not anusim. Of course, we don't know what the shayrish is that a person should be. There must be something in the hashgacha why some people are born with different nisyanis. But the nisayin of taiva is there, and that's the tikkun to be bocha batov, to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the fundamental you fed me with is not true. Anyone who has an addiction for the Olam HaSiya, whatever the taiva is, and if it's what we would call the normal libido, so that person is putter and the person is an einus because the person has no bechira in the Olam HaSiya.
I understand. So would you consider smoking a greater einus than libido? Would an addiction
me to say I measured it? I can't tell you what's a bigger, but that's the oinus of addiction, and that's an addiction in the Olam HaSiya, that a person who's addictive can be considered an oinus. That may be true, but that's for the Rabbeinu Shlomo to say. But the addiction is for asiyah, not for the tithe. And that, like the Rambam says, Paray was punished. What Paray did in the last five makas was clearly an anus. The last five makas were given to Paray. What he ever did then, he was an anus. Why? He was addicted. But who asked him to become an addict? And because he knew he's letting himself into this addiction, the Rambam rationalizes why Paray was punished for everything. Who asked you to become hooked on drugs? You put yourself in that situation. Who asked you to be hooked on drink, on alcohol? But if you did it and you went into a car and you knew beforehand that when you're not under control, when you're an alcoholic, you may kill people. So you're at least amazed on possibly killing people when you went into that car or when you started to drink knowing you're going to be driving.
We were asked a number of questions I'd like to have your feedback on. The clerk in Kentucky, Kim Davis, who will not issue licenses to gay couples, if she was Orthodox Jew and her parnassa was Tullianus, her livelihood, would she be allowed to or not? What is Das Torah? What is the halacha?
To my mind, what she did was a great Kiddush Hashem. I would say if a Jew would ask me, what should I do? I would say that al pi halacha, you're mechuyev to do what she did because of a Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah, in the end of the third shah, comments on the Maimon Chazal of the four kitos, kat leitzim, kat shakonim, kat chanofim, kat medabrei l'shoin hora, and he takes each one of these kitos and he gives us, he divides each kat into different madregos of the chomer ha'avera. When he goes into chanufa, and chanufa we would say means flattering, but there are different madregas, of course, of flattering. I could say you have a beautiful tie. I really don't think so, but I want to make you feel good. So the Gemara in Ksuvos Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph says that because of Lo'ilam Yehiyodam Daita Lodam, Lo'ilam Yehiyodam Shalodam Urevis Samabrias, even Beis Shammai, who do not agree with Beis Hillel, that you sing Kalanovach Suda if you don't think so. They agree that a person should make someone else feel good and compliment them on the tie, even though you don't think it's a nice tie. But we call this Chanufa. And this Chanufa, we're being matter, just like we're being matter, Sheker Mipnei HaSholem, Mishanim Mipnei HaSholem. Not all Sheker is Mutl Mipnei HaSholem. If a person feels that if he would bring home a lot of money, he would have shalom bayis, he's not allowed to be a con man to make a lot of money through his sheker, mipnei ha-shalom. Similarly, in Chanufa, the greatest aveira of Chanufa is when you tell someone, it doesn't matter if you're a Mechal Shabbos, it's okay at times to be Mechal Shabbos. That's called Chanufa. And Rabbeinu Yonah says, Chayiv Adam Limsayr es Atzmai La'ariga, not to be over the Savera. Evidently, Rabbi Ben Yaina maintained that it's Chilul Hashem. And for Chilul Hashem, it's Yehorek Val Yava. So Chanufa can be Chilul Hashem. For a person to say it's okay, there is such a thing as a marriage between identical sexes, it's Chilul Hashem, because the Torah says it's a Toeva. Incidentally, in English, I also think that marriage is not to be defined that way. We're talking about the definition of a word. But those people who want to liberalize everything are ready to change meanings as well. So that I believe, La'alacha, if you have Mechuyev in Yehorek Val Yaver, to do what this kid, is it Kim Davis, what she did, you're mechuyev to let yourself be killed, certainly losing parnasa, is I would say, an easier thing than your Harig Valyavar.
Now, I just want to say, there's a Yireim in Reish Mem Ches who says that Chanufa is when there's no fear l'mamaynay ay l'gufay.
So yes.
Is it possible that here that she's worried about Mamayna, her Parnassa, there would be no Issa Chanufa?
I agree with what you said, but Rabbeinu Yoina gives us different standards of Chanufa.
Right.
He says this, I think, after the second standard. Here we have a Chanufa. I gave you an example of a Chanufa where the Gemara says it's Mutter. It's Chanufa, but it's Mutter. The Gemara says, this is really Gemara Saitim Amalaf Amad Beis, that they were machnif la grifes hamelech, and they called him a chinu, and he wasn't
right,
a chinu.
Right.
So the Taisus asked there from a Gemara in a Durham, where the Gemara says Ula went with two Jews, and one killed the other, and Ula was machnif him.
Right.
And he said, you did a clean job.
Right.
Paralei beis hashchita. So he felt very badly. He told Rabbi Yochanan, look what I did. So he says, Nafshach Yitzalta. In other words, you didn't say to him, you're allowed to kill. You complimented him on the clean job that he did, which doesn't mean that you said you're allowed to kill. That's Chanufa, means that you're allowed to do this to Dvar Aveira. That's the Chomer of Chanufa when Rabbeinu Yonah says, Yehorig Val Yaver. But a Chanufa for any other thing could even be mutter, because it's not made to say that it's still chanuf. It's flattering a person, but it's not flattering to say you did the right thing, which is against the Torah. So it's we're defining a different chanufa, and here we find a chanufa which says you're allowed to do the chanufa. You're allowed to compliment the person and say that was a good boy.
So she's a hero, in effect. She is standing up for a Kiddush
Hashem. I think that she'll have tremendous schar for standing up for what she thinks was right, which is the Ratzon, happens to be Ratzon Hashem, that it's a toeva, and not the, and there's no such thing as a marriage. In fact, we know Midrashim, that the Midrashim says that, albeit the Gemara says in Chulin, I think Tzadik Aleph, that even though there were Shleisha Mitzvahs, that Goyim were Makabel, and I don't want to go into it because we know it's Zayim Mitzvahs B'nai Noyach, Rav Kveger and the Gideon Ashaz brings Ramami Panu, that itemizes the 7 into 30, but they still are Makayim only 3, that they don't sell human meat, even though some of them
cannibals
consume it, but they don't sell it B'makulin, in the place where meat is sold. They are mechaber esatayra,
and ain't kaisvin shtal
esatayra. Also, they are not kaisvin ksuvel eschara. Mind you, we're not speaking about the aveira of mishkav zachar. We're writing about the aveira of considering it a marriage, kaisvin ksuva, and that's what so many states are falling into, this trap that that this avla of considering it a marriage as kaisvin ksuvel eschara, that our medrash tells us that that's what not the mabul but mabulim came to the world because of this. So everyone is ignoring the tsunamis and the tremendous storm that are causing such havoc. And of course, whether you agree or don't agree with the changing of the temperature of the earth, all kinds of problems, that there are people that are worried about this, but they're ignoring it as if there's no Ashkacha Pratius. Hashem is Yeshev Hashemayim, and he sees Maisa B'nai Adam, and the Medrash tells us that these are things that happen when Kaisvin Ksuvel Ischarim. And we see it happening, but of course, nobody is Maisim Lev on this. But this is what's happening right now. We do see things that are happening, Mida Keneged Mida, in Europe, slowly but surely, V'day L'maven, Mida Keneged Mida. And all because of the European Sinas Yisrael, we see these things happening. We do happen to see, look, I'm not a Baal Ruach HaKadosh, but we do see so many of the simonim about Ikfas HaMashiach. The last years, there are wars all over the world. things are happening that are simonim for Mashiach all over the world. I would think an alert person realizes the hashgacha pratius that's going on when these things happen. And people are obdurately impervious to this, that the states are falling by the wayside. We're losing our anushius. And this is under President Obama. We are losing our anushius. That what the Supreme Court, the recent rulings of the Supreme Court, and we understand very well why one of the Supreme Court justices really, he lost it. He became so angry because it was obvious that the majority, firstly the majority that voted for Obamacare, but clear as day that they're just, everything is politics. It's no longer law. They're not talking law. They're not thinking law. There is no doubt in my mind that if the court will come back to its senses, they certainly are going to rule that freedom of religion dominates. And these rules that are being made, in other words, that Davis was right, and she had a right to say, my religion doesn't permit me to do this, and therefore law cannot force me to do this. We have to understand in American history that originally it was noted that it's a Christian country, and it's a country under God, except that there is also freedom of religion. And what atheists are doing right now, the liberal groups, what they're doing is they're just everything, you can do whatever you want to have a good time, and trying to turn everything around. And one looks at it and sees how the fundamentals of this country, which was built on loving kindness, on helping out, on giving, that was something extraordinary in the history of mankind, how this is going to the dogs because of politics, how everything is shaykhad.
Well, thank you very much. It's always a great honor and a kavod, and all our thousands of listeners. I think when you come on, we get the most emails, the most comments, and it's the biggest harbatzas. Tyra, thank you very much.
Thank you for those accolades.
Thank you very much, Reb David, for sharing your vast Das Tyra and knowledge with us.
Be blessed, Kol Tov.